This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Excited to be in God's house. Amen. This is such a marvelous day. It is such a glorious day. And it is a privilege to be witnesses of the things God is set to do and He is doing. Can you welcome the persons by your side? Make them welcome. Just exchange pleasantries with somebody by your side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. I want to use the opportunity to welcome all of our fathers and our mothers who are here present, whose presence has added colors and glory to this very hallowed convergence. Can we celebrate all our fathers and our mothers in the house? Amen. Amen. I also want to use the opportunity to recognize especially the presence of the provincial youth pastor of Province 6 of the RCCG, Pastor Akin, is in the house. Thank you so much. Please, Anakazo, celebrate God's choice servant. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. We also welcome all the pastors, everybody whose presence continues to support and encourage what we do. God bless you immensely in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Very briefly, we'll be looking at God's word on a subject I title Patterns from the Beginning. Patterns from the Beginning. It's a very brief charge. Very brief. And I believe it is aimed at bringing us to remembrance of God's idea and God's patterns as regarding the institution of marriage. Patterns from the beginning. I am fascinated with the book of Genesis because in it one can almost see the original intent of God concerning anything. I am particularly fascinated with that book. For those of us who have been around for some time, you would know that it is a regular space for us, the book of Genesis, because I believe it's the book of beginnings. And in it, you can actually see God's intent and God's blueprint as regarding anything in life. And so quickly, I want us to consider a verse from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. It will be projected, so please just look at the screens so we read together 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45. The Bible says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Of the many portfolios, of the many offices occupied by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one of which is very pronounced is that they bestowed to him that name of Adam also, and they called him the last Adam. I want to draw our attention to the reason why scripture will continue to make reference to Jesus as the last Adam. It is because in the first Adam, there was a purpose of God that was not completed. there was an agenda of God that was not established. And so there was need for a continuation of the Adam project. And so they were able to perfect it in a person called the last Adam, the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you are with me so far, can you say amen?
Amen.
Part of the patterns we'll be considering in the life of the first Adam juxtaposed the last Adam is that we began to see that as touching marriage, there were conditions that were on ground that necessitated the need for a wife for the first Adam. And I would also show us that as touching marriage, for the first Adam, his wife was taken from inside him. The Bible made us to understand in Genesis chapter 2 from verse 21. Let's read together. Let me just read it out for us. In verse 21, the Bible says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam the first. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." So for a process of bringing forth the wife of the first Adam, God caused him to fall into a deep sleep. For the second Adam too, before his wife will be presented to him, he will need to go into the womb of the grave. He will need to be there. It is the same thing Jesus continued to make reference to every time a situation of death is brought to him. He continued to re-echo his concept of death. He says, he is not dead, he is sleeping. And he became a subject of debate within the disciples. How can you call a man who is dead asleep? Because he is going to also have to fall into a sleep so that from that sleep, his bride, the church, can be brought out of him. Without the death of Jesus, the bride of Christ can never be prepared. The way it took sleep for the first Adam to secure his wife, it will also take sleep for the second Adam to find his bride. The reason why sleep is a major necessity is that as regarding this matter of marriage, if the flesh is not immobilized, you will be far from finding the will of God. Have you tried to find the will of God on something when your flesh is alive before? Your flesh should be contributing, using common sense, using logic. It will be interfering with God's purpose. Let me give you a very funny illustration, very briefly. Imagine if Adam was awake while God was creating Eve. Adam will contribute. He would list in. See, I tell you as I know a man. He would say, God, don't you think you should add? He will contribute because the flesh must be immobilized before a man can walk into the perfect will of God. If what you are looking for is God's perfect will, your flesh must step out of the way, and it will take sleep to immobilize the flesh. That sleep is what God brings upon a man when he wants to bestow his wife to him. When you are still awake, you will be saying, Lord, I want a fair lady with figure eight. With, as you are talking, they will just off the volume from heaven and say, carnal man. Father, don't forget. I say open teeth. They will say, forget that. He's a joker. The day they want to pay attention to that particular prayer point of, Lord, who is my better half? They will put you to sleep. In that day, your will die. Your interest will be... It is there you will submit to a greater knowledge. There is a wisdom that knows the end from the beginning. It is that wisdom that will go and choose for you. And say, this is the way. Walk in it. Walk in it. Marriage is not just a legal contract. This is a spiritual contract. And there are a lot of people who would commit themselves better to the institution of marriage if they realize this. I need to also say this in a passive note. The opinion of the Western world has little or nothing to do with God's perspective of marriage. A lot of us, our education, our convictions are being shaped by what we are seeing by these guys from the Western world.
It will interest you to know that statistical records have it that over 90% of their marriages end up in divorces. And so how can people who have such gross level of failure in that matter become our mentors in matters like that? There are biblical concepts we must adhere to. There are provisions in the scripture that remains our only option as long as godly marriages are concerned. I don't care how popular other opinions are. If what you are looking, remember, if you violate the procedure of any experiment, you will forget the outcome. For the conclusion, you can never get the result if procedure is violated. Part of the procedure in this kingdom still remains the bed undefiled. No matter how much Hollywood try to make dating look like it's an avenue for sexual immorality, if the bed is corrupted, you will find out later. I said this one, and some people who were saying yes, sir, since they... Let it be on record that there is no temptation that is peculiar to you. It's not, it's common to man. It's, everybody has a layer of lust he must overcome. You are not the only one. So stop, you know, creating that room and saying it's not easy. It's not easy for everybody. And you know what? God will never reduce his standard, no matter how filthy the world becomes. God, no, hey, you say, do hands, join hands. Let kings come together and say, we have changed, we will not behave like this. God's law will not be bent. It will not be bent. Shehu, my brother, we have labored for years together in the field, planting the flag and the banner of Jesus across various territories. It is a pleasure to see that God has rescued you out of our ranks. Now I know you would be tempted to refer me to one of your books on marriages. A brother got married not up to 3 months, and he has written a book on marriage. He said, the title is As Touching Marriage. So he said that there are secrets that is, but if you are not married, you will not know. You just, please look, make sure you read it, sir. I say, I will. How can I enter marriage without reading that book? It will interest you to know that the subject of marriage, as hallowed as it is, as important as it is, the people who spoke most about it were unmarried in the scripture. Ranging from Apostle Paul to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The most accurate perspectives as regarding God's concept of marriage were given by those who don't necessarily engage that institution. I'm saying this one to pacify somebody sitting somewhere that is saying, look at this small boy. Hallelujah. For the sake of time, in the next 15 minutes, I should be rounding up this discourse. I am also aware that the sermon on your wedding day cannot change you. This is why I am not stressing myself. It is who you are. The person that came right now and sat down is that person that will enter the marriage. Then if you want to change, you will have ample opportunity to start learning on the job. See. That's why I don't believe in very long sermons during marriages. Because during that wedding ceremony, that your sermon cannot change anybody. There is a very thin line between a sermon and a hostage situation. Help us, Holy Ghost. So for the sake of order, I will divide my message tonight into two subheadings, just very quickly. Number one, the preparation for marriage. The preparation for marriage. If you are with me so far, can you say amen?
Amen.
Genesis chapter 2 from verse 18. Quickly, I want to show us something. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 18. I will read for us very quickly because time is not on our side. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be what? Come on, let's read together. One, two, go. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. Say meet. Next verse, very quickly. Let's be fast. And the Lord God formed every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. Please give me your attention. I want to show you something. Media, can you please give me verse 18 again? A purpose has been declared. A particular plan has been announced by God. And the plan was clear enough for everybody to know what God wants to do. What is the plan? God said, it is not good for this man to be alone. It's in my second point, I will explain why is it not good. But now, I want to share on the preparation for marriage. And so, God already established it is not good for man to be alone. Since it is not good for man to be alone, on the strength of that fact, he says, I will make him a help meet or suitable for him. So, it's not any help that can help you. There is your help must be meet for you. It's like saying, no weapon formed or fashioned. The weapon was not a random weapon. It was you that they had in mind when they were forming it. They formed it with your weaknesses in view. So this is how they form your help too. Your help is with your infirmities in view, with the areas of your deficiencies in view. That's what makes your help meet. Not everybody can help you, brother. Sister, not everybody can help you. This is a truth that when we embrace, not everybody can be your help. Now listen, God says, on the strength that I will not have him be alone, I will make him a help meet. He has announced that I want to make Adam's wife. The next thing God went into in verse 19, the Bible says, and out of the ground, Jesus. You will expect that God is about to start working on Adam's wife because God just said in verse 18, I will make him a help meet for him. The next project God entered was to bring the man to a particular posture of heart. He began to present the beast of the field. He began to present the fowl of the air. He began to bring unto Adam to see what Adam will call any of these things he brought to him. And the Bible said, and whatever he called every living creature, that was their name thereof. Listen, they were looking for Adam's wife. I will make him a help. They began to make different things. What God said I want to make was not animals. He said, I will make his help. Instead of making the help, God began to make all kinds of animals. And when he made them, he didn't keep them. He brought them to Adam to see what Adam will call this one. So God made brought kangaroo and brought it and passed near Adam and was looking at Adam carefully to see what he will call it. If Adam called anything his wife, that thing will be his wife. You are laughing? No, it's the truth. Let me share what God wanted to achieve. As touching marriage, the knowledge of what is not it is the first thing you need before you can recognize what is it. You will be confused because you will see many assortments. You will see all kinds of shapes and sizes and colors of people. But when you have known what is not it, when you see it, you will know. This is the first thing he wanted to do to Adam's heart. He wants to bring him to a point where he knows what is not it. And so let me show you from that scripture. The Bible said, Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field for Adam there was not found. Say found. It means there was a searching. They were looking for something, but they didn't find it. Among all these animals they presented, God knows that no animal should be his wife. But God wanted to know whether he has known what is not it. If you don't know what is not it, you will be inside marriage like this. Eh? Your eye will be outside. I work with a lot of elderly people. And anytime I make them happy, they lend me advice. Those type that is a product of many years of experience. They just say, Effa, no, don't rush into marriage. Is it, when a man call your name, wait for 3 seconds before he says what he wants to say. Listen to that thing carefully. I told some of us a story while I was working at Shika at the ABU teaching hospital. My boss, I and him were driving to Zaria one day, and he said something quite funny. He said he had a dream. I had a dream that my wife died. He said, and let the will of God be done. Have you heard that type before? You listen now, why are you? It's not a laughing matter. You know what his diagnosis is, you know what is wrong with him? Eh? He does not know what is not it before he entered. So now that he's inside, he's wishing that car. If only death can separate me from this bondage. James chapter 1, verse 8. James chapter 1, verse 8. Very quickly. Everybody, wherever you are, it's projected. Let's read as loud as we can. 1, 2, go. Give us verse 7, quickly. Everybody, read this as loud as you can. 1, 2, go. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything valuable from the Lord. They were testing whether he's a double-minded man. Whether he will say, hey, now this one. Then they'll bring another one. He will say, no, it's not this one again. It's this. They found out that he could gather himself and he knew what was not it. Please, listen. Let's stop movement now. I don't want any movement. Just sit down, everybody. Let's stop movement. It won't be long. Stop moving. No need. There's no space. Point number two, very quickly. Time is not on our side. The purpose of marriage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. I will read for us. The Bible says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That's responsibility. That's responsibility given to him. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. What was the reason why God proposed that it was not good for man to be alone? It is because responsibility has been given to him. It is because a particular assignment has been given to him to dress and to keep the garden. Those two terms are indicative of very important roles. To keep is a military term. It means to protect it, to secure your space, secure your territory. I entrust it to you, keep it. To dress means to maintain the glory as it was given to you. Dress it. On the strength of these two assignments, which is kingly and priestly, as touching maintaining the glory is a priestly assignment. And as touching
keeping the garden, it is a kingly assignment. It's about territory. It became clear that it was not good for this man to hold all this responsibility alone. I want to say something in the light of what I've shared. The primary cause for abuses in marriages is a lack of purpose in that marriage. Purpose is more stronger. It's even stronger, rather. Purpose is stronger than emotion. Emotion will not last long in the journey of marriage. Purpose will continue to join you guys together. The office of the woman, according to the scriptures we have read, the Bibles describe her as a help that is meet. It means if a woman arrives at anybody's life and there is no assignment, no purpose, her office is without use because she was designed to help. Now, when you are not, you don't have anything you are pursuing, hey, there must be abuse in that marriage, because it was Miles Murrow that said, when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. There must be abuse because her work is to help. The first labor of a man is to discern what is the work of he that sent him. What is the work God has given to your life to do? When you have discovered that work, any woman who comes into your life as God leads you will find a place where her own ministry can thrive. Unfortunately, most of the Saturdays, Yahoo boys and slay queens are busy getting married, and the drama they want to cause in this world is tomorrow that it will happen. After colorful weddings, does it not surprise you what report came as of January this year alone from the Abuja Magistrate Court? The number of divorce after the shutting down the city reception, the talk of the town wedding, because not too many people are equipped for marriage. You can prepare for wedding, but marriage is for the matured. I don't care whether you have your gown, you have paid for this, you have done this, Oga, all you are preparing for is wedding. Marriage is the journey that starts from the wedding. Not too many people are prepared for that. Not too many people will walk in that course. And since purpose is not defined, you can tell the lifespan of many marriages. They start with eros, the emotional love. I love you, I love you. You will not be feeling emotional forever. A point will come in marriage. It will be purpose that continues to keep the bond. I have seen my parents. I've observed several seasons of their marriages. I have been so observant about their marriage. I have seen that a time will come. It is what both of you have built together that will keep you. Sometimes you want to walk away, then you will remember that, but we have built this beautiful thing together. Then they will come back to what they built together and say, it is because of you people that we have done. That is why we are together. Huh. You know, now, before you wake up, there is a text message that Shehu sent. Wait until he forgets your birthday. You now say, I don't know whether there's still love. Love, the definition of love will be changing as seasons. May God give us godly marriages. Amen. Godly homes. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 is my last scripture for the day. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I want everybody to read it very loud, verse 9 and 10. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Verse 10. Do you now see why God says it is not good for man to be alone? It's because there is a disadvantaged level of life you will operate from. He says, woe to him that is alone when he falls. As soon as responsibility is given to you, God bears in mind
that the enemy would buffet your life. But that in the day where you fall, this is why man has not fallen when Eve ate the fruit. Man corporately fell when Adam joined in the disobedience. Because when one fell, it was the responsibility of the other to lift that one up. But what this first Adam did was that when his wife fell, Eve went into the gutter with her. This is the difference between him and the last Adam. The last Adam, when his wife fell, because we were sinners. Hey, he says, while Christ died for us, we were sinners. There was nobody that is deserving of God's mercy. Everybody, it was while we were yet sinners that Christ died. So we were already falling into the gutter of iniquity, the life of a reprobate mind. Guess what the second Adam did that was different from the first? The first came and saw his wife and said, since she's inside, and he entered, because the Bible says she gave unto her husband with her. The last Adam, when his wife fell, he did not partake of the sin. He stood by the side where they would give punishment as regarding why you did what you did. And as God would design it, he became the... You see, if you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
It was because of that constituted authority. That is why it pleased God to punish he that is without sin on behalf of we who are the sinful ones, the bride of Christ. Shehu, you will not always win argument with your wife. That is part of the responsibility of being the head. Sometimes you'll be right, or you will let her have the last say. Everybody will go to bed. If the Holy Ghost touch her, she can come and apologize and say, sorry dear, that thing, I was the one that was wrong. But if the Holy Ghost did not touch her, life will still go on. For the first, he fell with his wife. But for the second, or rather the last, he took the fall for his wife. It's two different things. He is without sin, but he took the whole penalty and said, punish me. Leave my wife out of this talk. This is why his wife loved him. This is why we are crazy about him. It is because the kind of love he manifested to us, none has ever done it in the whole. Do you know what it means to face the wrath of a spirit? And he took the whole weight. Part of the penalty was that death must be part of it, because the wages of sin is death. And he embraced death, went into Hades, took the shame, took the blame, took all the pain. Guess what? In that time, when he was doing this thing, his wife was still unfaithful. Guess what? It was his wife Satan was using, to put him in the greatest pain he was going through because of her. Sheu, I've said what I've said in this last statement I've made to tell you that you are instructed to love your wife as Christ loves the church. It is a love that is unto death. You cannot be Sabinus in marriage. You would have to be a fool so that you'll be wise. The Bible says, who is it that seemeth to be wise in the things of this world? Let him become a fool that he may be wise. I've been talking to my brother. I've been talking to my brother because the few times I've tried to advise the lady in a marriage, it didn't end well. Some people accosted me after my sermon and said, but is it not fair to balance things like this? So I'm speaking to you that the Lord has given the gift of headship. It will not be a bed of roses, and God has not promised you a journey without hitches. His assurance is when you go through the fire, it will not burn you. Through the water, it will not overflow you. But there will be seasons to go through.
I also close my charge this evening with one advice to both of you. The two cannot become one until the season of crisis set in. God uses crisis to achieve oneness. I will end my discourse with one simple illustration. I want your imaginations to go wild now. Be free to imagine. I'm holding a glass of water or a bottle of water. I now opened the cap of the bottle of water, and now I'm pouring table salt. I'm pouring salt inside that bottle of water. As I'm pouring the salt, you can see the salt settling down at the base of the water. Many of you can watch it. It's happening in your mind. You can see the salt settling down there. The thing I'm doing now, this is how Satan works too. There is a TV screen inside your soul. Satan can be playing videos with thoughts and imaginations. Now, that salt that is here, if I carry that container and I drop it peacefully here like this, if I come back tomorrow, I hope you know I will still see the salt down. If I want both the salt and the water to mix together, what do I do? Shake it. The seasons of shaking in marriage is what makes for oneness. You will continue to see salt and water living together. The two has not become one yet. If you can still see salt and water, the day the two become one is when the salt loses its identity inside the water. When you look from afar, you will see only water. But when you taste it, you will see that the salt is alive. The salt is not lost. It's inside. This is what God wants. That the man will be the head of the home. He is the corporate image of that arrangement. When you look from afar, it's him you will see. But inside him, his wife is alive. Can I share something with you? This is my last, you know, no more advice after today. Immediately they join you guys, you start looking at me from that eye of, how do we help this single man now? There is a way Satan also, I'll take this as a sign that it's time. Let's bow our heads wherever we are. Begin to pray for our brother. Begin to pray for our sister. Begin to pray for them. Begin to pray for them. Hallelujah. 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 Begin to pray wherever you are. Begin to pray. Begin to pray wherever you are. Please make prayers. Make prayers. Make prayers. The next 2 minutes.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.